Lord bless each one this morning. We're going to start off our service just by singing a few choruses, then we'll sing a hymn from their Damsel hymn book. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. If you want joy, you're not, you'll turn to them. in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come and sing praises to our God and King. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity to come and magnify the precious name of our lovely Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we have come indeed, Lord, to talk about and to hear about, to listen, to think about, and to meditate upon the lovely Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your love, your word says that God is love. We thank you, Lord, that you care for us, Lord. Peter wrote and he said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, it's a wonderful thing that the God of heaven, the God who created the heaven and the earth and everything that in them is, and all the things, Lord, that's known and all the things that are unknown, you made everything that is, that you would care for such an individual as I, even as the hymn writer said that you would even die for such a worm as I. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're not an alienated God, but we thank you that you have reconciled us to yourself through your own precious Son by the precious blood that was shed on Calvary for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the blood that speaks better things than not available this morning. We thank you, Lord, that the blood has a voice. We thank you this morning, Lord, that it pleads and speaks for us and intercedes for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you indeed, of your own will, Lord, went and died on Calvary. You became subject and obedient unto death. And we thank you, Lord, that your word says that you tasted death for every man. Lord, we're glad this morning, not only that you died, but that you rose again on the third day according to the scripture. We thank you, Lord, that you have triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. And Lord, on your waist, our Lord, belongs to you the keys of life and death. You're him that said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. We thank you, Lord, this morning that we come and serve a living, risen Saviour. We thank you, Lord, this morning for all the benefits and all the blessings which you pour out upon us. Lord, the greatest of all is to be in the family of God this morning. The greatest thing of all is to be known as one of yours. We thank you, Lord, that we are the sons and the daughters of God. And we thank you that your word even says that you have made us kings and priests unto our God. Lord, never was it seen before when a vile, filthy, defiled man or woman could become a king or a priest. But Lord, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're made perfect and presented perfect before you in heaven. And Lord, your word even says that we are heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful reward you've given us, Lord. And Lord, it's not even so much a reward because it's a gift. Lord, for reward people would work. But Lord, your gift, Lord, come without works. We thank you, it was your grace. We just ask you this morning that you'll bless each one that's bowed here. Lord, pray this morning, Lord, for this woman, Ruth Craig. Lord, we pray that you'll undertake for her, Lord, receive this news that she has stage 1 cancer. I rebuke that cancer over her life. Lord, I pray that we'll start seeing results in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, that people will get through to you, Lord, that people will be real, Lord, that we'll have testimonies upon testimonies, have healings upon healings, deliverances upon deliverances, even as it was in the book of Acts, because you're the same, Lord. You haven't changed. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to have faith. Help us, Lord, to believe. And Lord, doubting nothing, but Lord, your word says all things are possible. Only believe. Lord, we pray that you'll touch this woman in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, for Amanda again this morning. Amanda Brown, I pray, Lord, you'll continue to touch her, Lord. Lord, heal her body, Lord. Pray, Lord, that all this fluid that's gathered will disperse in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you've already touched her. I pray, Lord, for those this morning that's needing a touch from you. Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to work upon them. We know indeed that thou art a miracle-working God. Lord, you're a healer. Lord, your word says that we are to be like you. And when you were here on this earth, Lord, you went on to those that are sick. And Lord, you healed those that are oppressed by the devil. Even in one place it says you went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Help us to be like you, Lord Jesus Christ, for you are the great physician. Lord, we just ask you now that you bless this service. Bless our brother Thomas. He comes with your word this morning. And anoint him to preach the gospel, the word of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Pray, Lord, that each person will be blessed in their cars, even as we sing and worship you this morning. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, I pray, giving God all the glory. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going to turn in our redemptional hymn books to number 528 in the redemptional hymn book. He's like a river, his flooding my soul since Christ my Saviour maketh me whole. 520. Chamber.
Glory in our hearts inspire. Let the fire fall.
to our pastor as he comes to this. And everyone this morning, and I do give each and every one a very warm welcome in their service this morning in the name of the Lord. And it's good to be gathered in His name, and we know that His name is a name which is above every other name. I want this morning to share with you a little message which the Lord gave me many years ago. And I've been praying this week and praying for different individuals that's been wanting prayer. And I couldn't get this thought out of my head all week. And every time I went to prayer, I kept thinking of this scripture and this little thought. And how I first heard this and how it came about was through the evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. Many years ago, as a young preacher, I heard him tell a story of a boy in a Sunday school class. And the teacher had told the children that she wanted to give them God's phone number. 5015, Psalms 50 verse 15. And the wee boy ran out of the class and the teacher wondered where he went, and he came back in but 10 minutes later, and she said to him, wanted to know, isn't that home? She wanted to know, you know, where he had went till. And he said, I went and dialed the number. And she said, what happened? And he said, it was engaged. And Bunky said, God's number's never engaged. God's number is never engaged. Psalms 50 verse 15. 5015. And you know, there was a Sunday school teacher at that time in I think it was an Elam church. I'm going back a long time. And she was a cripple in a wheelchair. She had many operations upon her back. She couldn't walk or do anything. And she went to one of Reinhard Bonnke's meetings, and she was healed by the power of God. And she walked. But she says that the miracle began in the Sunday school when she mentioned to the children about God's phone number. And the children, after the Sunday school service, prayed for the Sunday school teacher that God would heal her. You know, children today sometimes have a lot more faith in God than what adults had. If I'd had been an adult, or even some ministers, they would want to know, was it God's will? And they would pray over you what I call the death prayer. And the death prayer is a prayer that prays, Lord, if it's your will you heal a brother? Lord, if it's your will you heal our sister? There's nowhere in the scripture that you ever see Jesus doing that, or the disciples doing that. That's a man-made creed and a man-made doctrine. Now the things I want to preach today is for me, and it's for you, and God has shown me, and I'm bold this morning what I'm going to say. I've been praying and seeking the Lord. Specifically, two women that's here this morning. And what I'm going to say this morning is instructions for you. This is the word of the Lord. And anyone that will take this serious and act upon these things, this is a word from the Lord. There's two keys in this message I want to bring this morning.
problem. One is prayer, and the other one is the presence of God. A meeting is not a meeting if the Lord's not present. It takes the presence of the Lord to make a service. And if the Lord doesn't come on the scene, it's not a service, it's only a gathering. But the Bible says for two or three is gathered in His name, He's promised to be in the midst. Now I want you to read with me Psalms 15 and verse 15. Now I know I preached this before, and those of you that's heard it before said we've heard it all before. You see, that's what's wrong. A lot of times, familiarity. Jesus Himself said a prophet has no honor in his own country. Now I'm not saying I'm a prophet, but a stranger, they'll follow, Jesus said. One will come in another name and they'll follow him. But Jesus said Himself, I have came in my Father's name and they don't follow me. Not what he said. It's the Lord Jesus Christ we need to be following. He's the one. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's a simple little verse. Let us bow our heads this morning, and I want you to pray for me. I want you to be sincere in this service. I believe already the devil seen telling, and I'm going to say this, there's people that should have been here that's not here. The devil does not want God's people to hear anything that's going to liberate them or set them free or bring them closer to him. He don't want you to hear anything like that. Father in heaven, we bow before you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto me except my Father draweth him. No man can know me, save to him whom the Son will reveal him. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will reveal yourself to us here today. I ask you'll strengthen and encourage your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Grant me thy wisdom to speak thy word, Lord. Touch the hearts and the lives of the people. Encourage people. Lord, I pray for those that's made decisions to be saved over this past 2 weeks. Lord, I ask you to bless them and strengthen them. Lord, and lead them on with thyself. We pray, Father, that you'll do your people good. And for every true servant of God, you'll bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm asking you to come here this morning. I'm asking you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that will destroy yokes, Lord. Cancers and demon powers, let the anointing of God come that will break fetters over men and women's lives. Oh God, there's so many people in need. We need you, Lord, more than ever. But we know you're only a prayer away. Help us to call on your name. Help us to take courage from the word of God. And I do take the Holy Ghost to help me now. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to bring you someone to encourage you this morning. I believe specifically that there's several people sitting in their vehicles. I can walk over now and touch you. I'm not talking rubbish or imagining. I'm really serious. The devil wants you to think that God doesn't hear you when you pray. He's told you in your mind when you went to pray, you found it hard to pray. And the devil has told you that God doesn't hear you. But the word of God says his ear is open till our cry. God's ear is open till our cry. And this morning, we can make a phone call 45 minutes today either. I don't know how long it'll be. I could preach 2 hours a day. I don't know. So forget about your clocks today. Other people get over the time. I'll go over today. How's about that? I'm not going to worry no more about restrictions. I'm not going to worry no more about time. I'm not going to worry about mass or COVID or any other rubbish. At Zionist time, we were set free from the bondage of people. And I tell you, I know people don't like anybody telling them what to do. But if it's God that's given the instructions, we need to hear it and we need to obey it. And here God is saying, calling me, calling me. Psalms 40 verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not faint. They shall walk and not be weary. The secret is waiting upon the Lord. Too many Christians, they're having difficult times, hard times. Brother, we're not in a kindergarten parade. We're in a war. We're soldiers of an army. We're special forces. We're God's SAS. We're in a struggle. We're in a battle. Not against flesh and blood, but against principality and powers seated in heavenly places. And God has given us a weapon that we're not using enough. A weapon that's mighty. A weapon that's powerful. And that's prayer. Prayer's that weapon. So many people say, God's not moving like he used to. He's not. But then we don't have people like we used to have either. Let's tell the truth. People talk about Azusa Street revival and the way God moved with the Jeffries and Wigglesworth. Alright. Is there anybody claims they really want what they had? I'm going to give you the recipe for it. I myself am not even saying that I'm doing what this man did, and I know none of you are doing it. But this is how the move of God really came about in Masuda Street. It wasn't, Lord bless me and lay me to sleep 5 minutes. No! William Seymour was moved by God when he heard his first Pentecostal message preached by a Holy Ghost preacher called Parham. And Parham, I might be saying his name right, but he preached a baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he preached a baptism of the Holy Ghost the way it's preached in the book of Acts, tongues and prophecies like the book of Acts. And Seymour hadn't got it. And they called for Seymour to come to Los Angeles, and they called for Seymour to take the meeting, and because Seymour was black, they locked him out of the church, and they wouldn't even let him in the church. I worry that nobody comes to hear me. Don't think because of the crowd it's God. This fellow was locked out of the church. Never mind in the church. Now we know the church is not a building. You could be in the field. How many knows that's the church? Where two or three gathered in his name's a church. But I read this. This has challenged me greatly. I'm serious about this. I'm here to challenge you. I challenge myself. The Azusa Street revival I'm reading from. I got to Los Angeles and there the hunger. There's your key. Are you hungry for God? I'm not talking about hungry for socials, hungry for events or gatherings. I'm talking about, are you hungry for God? Have you come to a place where you don't want to be near nobody, that you want to be closed away with God? That's called the secret place. And God needs to get a hunger on his people for the secret place. And when God gets a hunger on his people for the secret place, the power of God's going to come. The move of God's going to come. But it won't come before we get a hunger for the secret place. Seymour was hungry for God. Here's what he said. God, what can I do? What can I do, God? Have you ever gotten your knees and prayed, God, what can I do? And the Spirit said, pray more. Pray more. I want you to listen to this, brothers and sisters. Pray more. And this is what he answered to God. But Lord, I'm praying 5 hours a day now. I'm praying 5 hours a day. And the Holy Spirit said, pray more. You want to see me moving? You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I hear people saying, I want the baptism. They wouldn't pray for 5 minutes to get it. Then they say the pastor failed, the elders failed, they never got it. They never came hungry enough. There used to be a preacher. He preached in Australia for Brother Brian. He preached over America. He's dead. But he had a powerful ministry, a man called Billy Andrews. The Message churches cooled him down for years. And they did their dirty best to take the power of God off him. And once he got older and he was near ready to go, God stirred him again. And he regretted the years he'd wasted. That's the truth. But when he started out, he had a revival ministry, a miracle ministry. Billy Andrews is well known. And Billy Andrews fell out of a tree and broke his back. And the surgeons told him, never move suddenly, ever in your life, or you'll be in a wheelchair the rest of your days. And Billy Andrews used to get full of the Holy Ghost on the pulpit and jump on the pulpit and jump around the church. Power of God. This man, William Seymour, this is the man that God used to start the Azusa Street Revival. A revival that swept from Azusa Street to every corner of the globe, to every corner of the earth. It was because of that movement that people were influenced all over different parts of the world because of what God done in Azusa Street. This man said, God, what will I do? And God, the Holy Spirit said, pray more. 5 hours a day. 5 hours a day was already praying. Now I'm not saying you must pray 5 hours. You couldn't. I couldn't. If God never led you, you couldn't do it. But we certainly should be praying, all of us, more than we're praying. You can preach too much. You can definitely talk too much, and many of us do. And you can sing too much. And you can talk behind your brother and sister's back far too much. But there's one substitute. That's the secret place. And praying with God. You can never overdo the prayer closet. You know you're in God's will when you're in the prayer closet. Oh, that God would help us to be in the prayer closet. Lord, what can I do more? I'm praying 5 hours a day. And he increased it to 7. Increased his prayer life to 7 hours a day. People say, I have no time today to pray. Susanna Wesley raised a multitude of children. And they say she spent hours still every day in prayer, and she still did her chores. Many of us won't miss the social events and the media events, but we miss the prayer closet, and then we say, where's the power of God? We don't have the gifts, we don't have the healings. We need to get back to the prayer closet. The old Pentecostals were prayers first, and we need to be prayers. 7 hours a day. Oh, the Lord's going to have to help us. 7 hours a day praying. And he prayed. I pray to God to give what Parham preached. What Parham preached, Seymour wanted it. Seymour didn't want some, you know, fancy dandy. But he wanted the real thing. There's so much around the charismatic movement today, which is the real thing. He was the real power of God. The real move of God. How hungry are you for God? The lockdown has worked well. It's separated people. It's isolated people. But let's not isolate ourselves from God. Let's have a lockdown with God, where we close ourselves in with the Lord. The real Holy Ghost and fire with tongues. This is what he said. And the love and power of God, like the apostles had. That's what he wanted. That's what Seymour wanted. What do you want today? I'm not preaching here to the unsaved. You're all saved as far as I know. It's the saved that need stirred up. It's God's people that need to get on fire. You blame the pastor, you blame the elder, you can blame whoever you want. But the blame is that God's people are backslidden, that God's people are not praying the way they ought to pray. The Bible says it's time to break up the fallow ground and seek God. It's time to seek God. It's time for the sacred place. It's time to pray like we've never prayed before. In the book of Acts, when trouble came, they didn't run and tell their neighbor about it or the pastor about it. And did you hear what brother so-and-so said? If the devil can have you talking about each other, he'll do it. What about his meetings? What about his meetings? If a man's preaching and people's getting saved, you need to pray for them that God blesses them. Don't talk about them. Pray for them. How many believes that, say amen? Tell you that's the truth. When trouble came in the book of Acts, look at Acts 6. Mark Acts 6 in your Bible. Acts 6. Here's what it says. Verse 1. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrew, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And I tell you something, you ought to pastor a church for a few years and hear the murmurings. The pastor should have done this. The pastor should have done that. The pastor never did this. The pastor never did that. If all the energy was put into prayer, we'd have a move of God. But we spend too much time in criticism. We spend too much time in backbiting and talking against our brother and talking against our sister. If we spend it in prayer, we'd have a move of God. You don't know the many churches today that's doing it. I know of a church in Lurgan, and a man came here and he said that he want to hear them. If a preacher comes and doesn't tick their buttons, the half the church gets up and leaves. It's in every church and every organization. The devil, and our brother John says that God don't want quitters and splitters. God wants men and women filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's sell it out all for Jesus. But here's the recipe. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report and full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. God's requirement for the ministry is the Holy Ghost. And Seymour heard about it and he hadn't got it. And he prayed for 5 hours a day and he still hadn't got it. So he increased it to 7 hours a day until he got the Holy Ghost. How hungry are you really for the Holy Ghost? Now, don't say this to offend any Catholic people. here to think I'm here to tell you off. I'm here to encourage you. But Lord, God's put this on my heart. What am I going to do about it? Not preach it. Give me an ear tickler. Verse 3 says, wherefore, brethren, look out, men, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Continually. We will give ourselves continually. People say, if you're preaching, you don't need to study. See, he ever told you that? They're telling you lies. I'll tell you that now. That's against scripture. The Bible says study to show thyself approved. A minister that ready to divide of the word of God. We need to be in the word of God. And we need to be in the prayer closet. We need to seek God for the power of God. We need to seek God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Look, when Philip did his job and the people were saved, it never stopped there. How many knows that? They sent Peter and John to them. And Peter and John said, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They didn't stop it there and sign their names up and join some dead lodge. There's too many Christians today in dead lodges and dead movements, but God has called you to be an eagle. That you're going to soar in the heavenlies. That you're going to fly in the heavenlies. Not more numbers we need. It's more men and women that's sincere. It's genuine. What's success? What is success? Remember God's man in the Bible. When he counted the hands, God didn't like it. How many knows that? Now I'm not saying it's good to see people coming. Don't you misinterpret me. Because I'm in the spirit now. And I'm serious. Don't try to say I'm saying something I'm not. There's nobody wants to see people saved more than me. But when them people get saved, they need to get the Holy Ghost. They need to get the Holy Ghost. They need to keep clear of a dead, broken Christian organization. Don't go till it. Keep clear of it. Well, they'll put you in a tank and call three titles over you. And all you'll be is a bit wetter coming out and you're working in. Because it's not scriptural. These men pray it. Verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they choose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. They didn't pick him because his brother was related to him, or sister, or because he spoke well. He was chosen because he was full of the Holy Ghost. There is a place, hear me this morning, hear me, write this. I haven't preached these things before when I'm preaching. You might have heard me preaching this text before. This is a whole different message. There is a place for strength can always be renewed. Sister, brother, I want to tell you that sitting in your car that you're discouraged, you're despondent, you're praying and you think there's no results. The devil wants you to think that you're praying in vain. The devil wants you to think that God hasn't heard you, but I'm here to tell you as God's servant that God has heard you, that the first time you prayed, that God heard you. There is a place where you can have results. There is a place to be renewed. That place is the presence of the Lord. When you come into the presence of the Lord, you will be renewed. The presence of the Lord is a renewer. The presence of the Lord is a refresher. It takes the presence of God to renew you, to refresh you. And prayer is the key to getting into God's presence. Worship's another key. Worship's another key. We know that. But I haven't time to preach on worship this morning. There is no substitute. Listen to me, there's no substitute for the presence of God. You know the old preachers used to say, put a man in the pulpit and I'll tell you in 5 minutes if he's called to God. Because he looked for comes from God for God's people. The anointing breaks the yokes. You look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Look at David. Look at Samson. Look at everyone throughout your Bible. And the key is that they were called of God and anointed. They never were sent of God until they were anointed with the anointing oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. And we need men today anointed. And you need to be praying for the anointing of God upon preachers, upon yourself, upon your friends, upon your family. Pray in the Holy Ghost. There's no substitute for the presence of the Lord. How little time I wrote this out. Now I'm preaching to myself. Don't you think I'm up here and I'm better than you? I'm certainly not. I'm the least of you all. I'm nothing, but Jesus is everything. I'm nobody, but He's everybody. How little time the average Christian spends in prayer. I want to give you some of the modern Christian language. We're too busy to pray. And so we're too busy to have the power of God. That's what they're saying. When a Christian says, "I'm too busy to pray," they're saying, "I'm too busy to have the power of God." That's what they're saying. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. There's many services, but few conversions and less healings. Less healings. Somebody said, healing's not important. You want to watch somebody die. And you want to watch them every week wither away and die. And then come and tell me that healing's not important. That's, whoever told you that's the devil. Don't ever believe that nonsense. Healing's not important. Jesus Christ, by the stripes on His back, paid for it, for your healing. It was so important that the stripes that Jesus paid for it. It was so important that He suffered them stripes. 1 Peter 2:24, He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him, and by His stripes, His wounds, I am healed. Oh, I've seen no results, so quit. That's the devil wants. Just an evangelist quit preaching on soul winning because he maybe has a few nights and nobody gets saved. Did he quit? No! He keeps going! Because every soul is precious in the eyes of the Lord. A man done a mission not far from here many years ago. I attended it as a young man. I was the only conversion after weeks of meetings. I was the only one saved. He thought his missions were a flop and a failure. But somebody sent him a message 30 years later that a young man that was converted in their meetings saw 1,000 people saved in 14 services in Zimbabwe and Africa. Now I might have saw 1,000 here in 14 meetings, but I have saw people saved. Don't ever count success. And you think nothing's happening. And because you're praying for somebody and the word healed, don't take the attitude it might not be God's will. We must preach salvation to all, and we must preach healing to all. It's God's will to save. The power of God is lacking. It's lacking. I'm sorry, I'm telling the truth. How many believe you preach? You say, "But brother, you don't know I'm in a revival." Oh, but other people might not be. Don't get too high up. Let him that stand take heed lest he falls. We need a move of God. Many services, the power of God's lacking, so many lives, much of the work, We have not, the Bible says, because we ask not. Listen to that statement. Many Christians today, even confessedly, do not believe in the power of prayer. They don't believe it. They pray as some sort of a religion. Prayer is not some sort of a religion. Prayer should be a relationship. You need to come and fall in love with Jesus. So much in love with Jesus that you can't be separated from Him. You young men sitting in these cars, look at me for a moment. I'm serious. When you meet a girl that you fall in love with, and you'll be willing to walk till her house should be 10 miles away, you're in love with her. That's the way we need to fall in love with Jesus, that will go the extra mile for the love of the Lord. When they do pray, it is a prayer of doubt. I've heard great men that people listen to and people follow. I've heard them and I've listened to them pray, and it's all doubt. Lord, like you might be fit to do it. Brothers and sisters, that's a dead duck prayer. I'm sorry. That stuff's not going to do nothing. The disciples never prayed like that. The disciples prayed, look on us. Such as we have. Is that the Bible or not? They didn't do a dead duck prayer. We're not ducks anyhow, we're eagles. Amen? You can't walk with turkeys and cluck with chickens and fly with eagles. You're not a turkey, you're not a chicken, you're an eagle. Eagle, saints, arise. You've been set free. Here's what they pray, if it be thy will. Some go so far as to contemptuously contrast prayers for doers. And they stop praying and they become doers. They become doers. They're busybodies, but they're not prayers. I want you to tell you, the Mormons are busybodies. The Jehovah's Witnesses are busybodies. There's lots of religions in this world that are busybodies, but it's not God's religion. Being a busybody, it's a prayer warrior you need to be. Praise God. Forgetting that in history of the church, the history of the church, how the real doers have been always prayers. There is doers. Don't get me wrong. There is doers. But all the doers you can show me in the history of the church have been prayers. Prayer warriors. Look at William Seymour. 7 hours a day. All the men who made the glorious part of the church history have been, without exception, men of prayer. Men of prayer. It was a master stroke of the devil. Hear me this morning. It was a master stroke of the devil to get the church and the ministry lay aside the weapon of prayer. Now, before this lockdown, you can go and search this. But there's big churches, and you ask any of those pastors, and I know a lot of different pastors, churches that had 500 on a Sunday, they were lucky if they had 40 for the prayer meeting. They had 500 on a Sunday, lucky if they had 40 in the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is the most rejected, the most despised meeting, but the prayer meeting is the backbone of any church, of any movement of God. The prayer meeting's a meeting. Spurgeon's success wasn't because he's a great preacher. That wasn't his success. I know he was a prince of preachers. I have so much respect for Spurgeon. But Spurgeon told you what a success was. They came to see Spurgeon's success. And Spurgeon took them into the basement where there was people praying on a 24-hour shift. People praying on a 24-hour shift. They swapped shifts and they prayed continually. That was a success of the meetings. Prayer. Prayer was a success. I tell you, call a group of people to come over into that field. And tell them to bring a cushion with them, and we're going to get down on our knees and have an old-fashioned Pentecostal prayer meeting. I'll guarantee you'll not need a lot of room. But those that's come will be real. We need to be men and women of prayer. We can't have the move till we have the prayer first. You can't reach the car to the terrible spirit till she's injected and boosted. You waste your time. You need to get her tricked out, as it were. God's got tools in his toolbox to give us power and authority, and we're lacking them, and we don't get them because we don't ask. We have not because we ask not. Now I'm closing. I know some of you is getting nervous. Now I'm telling you the truth. That's just my introduction. I've been waiting on the Lord for this service. Now I'm coming to close. I won't hold it. I know I said it, but I'm not going to. My time's up with this clock. Sister, God heard you. You were already prayed for. I want to give you the word of the Lord. You were already prayed for. God already heard the prayer. And the devil's lying to you. You need to believe God. Tell the devil he's a liar. When you pray for somebody, you need to believe God's going to do it. Listen to this, what I wrote here. He doesn't mind all of the church expands her organization, and God's not in it anyhow. How many knows God's not in organization? God is in his word, and God is in his people. And where the people of God is, there's where God is. That could be in a field. In a field, how many believes that? Doesn't have to be a building. Remember, ultimately God is in his word. The devil is not afraid of organizations, but he's afraid of Almighty God. And men anointed with the power of God. He's afraid of that. He's afraid of that. Keep them. Don't bring them over here. Oh no. See that fellow there? I would have him, but he's a bit loud for us. I would have him, but I tell you what, he talks in tongues. What would our people think? I would have him, but you wouldn't know what he'd do at the end of the service. He could call a prayer line for praying for the sick. What would the general overseers think? I would have him only for it. What if you're in Paul the Apostle's service? What if you're in Peter's service? What if you're in John's service? What if you're back in the book of Acts service? Signs and wonders followed them. It was a normal. Because the power of God was on them. Now I'm closing. Prayer is a key. It is a key that opens the inexhaustible storehouse of the divine grace and power of God. That's the key. If you're serious about what the Holy Ghost, you need to get in the prayer closet. I'm closing. I didn't tell you this about Billy Andrews, but I'm going to tell you as I close. Now Brother Guy's going to come. Billy Andrews went to preach in Scotland and other places. I don't know if Sister Carl would have been in some of the services years ago. And he went to Australia to preach for Brother Freeborn. And he went to other places to preach. But I know one place he went, and the pastor told me that the people just expected Billy Andrews to wave a wand over them at the end of the service and heal them all. And Billy Andrews chased every one of them home. That's the truth. He told them to go home. And the deacons and all said to Billy Andrews, why did you send the people home? And he said, they're not praying up yet. They never came praying up. They came for me to pray them up. But they never came praying up themselves. I call that a Pentecostal quickie. He'll drain your battery because his is always flat. But we need to put our own battery in charge. Are you hearing me? And the Bible says that tongues is to edify, renew you, charge you. We need to spend time on the headquarters charging. So that we come to the house of God, we don't need the pastor, the elder, or deacon to pray us up. We are prayed up, ready to go. How many believe that? How many hours do we spend in prayer? We come in like a flash, we're out like a flash. But if we really believe Jesus is coming, we need to get serious. May the Lord challenge us. And this is for me as well as you. I hope I've challenged you. I know some of you might like some of the things I preach. Nothing I can do about it. I'm sorry. I felt led to preach it. The Lord told me not long ago, no more holding back. Preach it. And I'm telling you, I even went on a site and there's a bunch of message ministers on there, and I told them a few things, because I want to tell you, God never called us to follow a man and worship a man. He called us to follow Jesus and worship Jesus. And if you're uplifting any man, I don't care how much he's used to God, if you uplift him more than Jesus, you're wrong. And that's another spirit. You need to get rid of it, and you need to get the Holy Ghost. Bow your heads this morning. I hope I haven't missed what God's tried to get me to tell you. Sister, the Lord heard you. The Lord's with you. The Lord hasn't left you. He's with you. He's with you. If you want to feel His audible presence, God will let you feel it. I believe that. I believe it. There's no substitute for the presence of God. You that's sitting in your car, if you would say, brother, pray for me. Will you lift your hand up? Will you stick it out your window and lift it up high? Don't be afraid of the devil. You want to have the devil afraid of you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray for me as well. God bless you. Father in heaven, I thank you that you're only a phone call away. Lord, you know this little text that there's many times what you've did, testimonies, Lord, but I pray that your presence will come upon your people in a new way. Let there come a wave of the anointing power of God over your people today, that they'll know your presence, that they'll know your power. In the name of Jesus, touch my brother, touch my sister. In Jesus' name. Lord, if I've spoken amiss or out of place, forgive me, Lord. I wouldn't mean or want to do it. But I thank you for every soul that's been saved. I pray for all the decisions that's been made over this last few weeks. At Brother John Weir's convention or little meeting, I pray, Lord, you'll bless them. And keep them on yourself. And bless John Weir in Jesus' precious name. Father, bless everyone in their cars here this morning. Help every one of us to spend time in the secret place. Deal with all of our hearts, Lord. Move every one of us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. As Brother Gary comes, God bless you. I want you to tune in tonight. I have a lot of people tuning in from different places. I don't know if our own ones tune in or not. Some of them do, some of them maybe don't, but I'm just saying, tune in. I want to preach tonight on another message I believe God's given me. God will remove your storm. Jesus wants to remove your storm. You're going through a storm, tune in tonight. Jesus Christ can remove your storm. God bless each one.
Can we turn in our redemption hymn books, please, to 528? Oh, sorry, I've got the wrong hymn. Just give me a wee moment, please. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and have told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and have told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, dear blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died.
As we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word this morning. And indeed, Lord, we request this morning and desire, Lord, that you will draw us closer to yourself. Lord, of our own selves we can do nothing, because in man there is no good thing, but all goodness comes from you. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll encourage us, Lord, indeed, to spend more time in prayer, Lord, from we wake in the morning till we go down to bed at night. Even, Lord, when we are on our work, Lord, let us commune with you all the time, Lord. Like the psalmist David said, let thy praise continually be in my mouth. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, even when things aren't going well, that we'll still praise thee and we'll still give thee due glory in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, Lord, indeed, that you'll help us to seek your face for that anointing and that power. Lord, that the fire that fell on the disciples at Pentecost would also fall on us in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that it would consume all the dross in the name of Jesus Christ, and all the things that we think are important that aren't important, we pray, Lord Jesus, you'll take them out of the way. Help us to press on and press through in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's like the hymn writer would say, I'm pressing on the upward way new heights I'm gaining every day. Lord, help us, Lord, to press on and press through and to gain new heights with you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Lord, increase our fellowship with you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Pray, Lord, you'll bless each person in this service this morning. Bless the pastor who brought your word. Bless his family. Lord, for the unsaved in our families, we pray you'll save them. For those that's needing healing again, Lord, we pray that you'll touch and give them complete deliverance. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you as you go. We'll just sing a chorus or two as we leave.